I think Nathan was Joseph. On Joseph's side, the lineage went back to David through and also through one through Solomon and one through Nathan. And Zechariah was the linking ancestor prophesied about in Zechariah. The Zerubbabel, I'm sorry. Zerubbabel was the linking ancestor. And you know, talked about it, that, and Zechariah prophesied about him. So we have to look deeper into the Word of God to see what is truly ours. Now, if you don't receive Jesus, he came. He literally died for you. All these things are spiritually discerned. So if you believe on him, your spirit man is going to come to life, and you can understand God's Word if you want to. Now, your will is not excluded. You have to be willing to be a Christian. This is something you have to desire. You have to believe it. You have to want it. You have to act on it. And we receive salvation by faith. God already sent out his only begotten Son. He already died for us. He washed away our sins in real time. But it don't apply unless you believe it. He already did this for us. By his stripes we're healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So we have a legal right in heaven's court to be healed, to be at peace. All our sins are forgiven. God won't throw your past in your face. And you get to live with him in real time. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And the things that you did that was wrong and you want to go back and apologize to people, the Holy Spirit will guide you in life so you can do things like that. So that you can make right what was wrong. So that you can ask for forgiveness. Not only from God, but from man. So you can be a blessing to society. The Holy Spirit will show you how to do it. If you see needs out there and you really want to be a blessing to people, you know poor people, you know people that's not headed in the right direction. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in how to help people. Just beginning to help people, that's not as good as when God guides you. The Lord thinks of everything. We think of partial things. So anything that you want to do in life, if you're a minister, if you really want to know how to be a blessing to people, and you're a pastor and you don't know how to get people from where they are to where they need to be. You know the Lord. You know how good God is. The Lord can show you how you can help be a blessing to people. There are people in your congregation you're trying to reach, you're trying to help them, you're trying to instruct them, and it seems like nothing's moving. Things are getting no better. That's when you go in prayer and you go before the Lord, and he'll show you how to help people, and even if you can help those people. And he'll give you the wit and the wisdom to do it. And whatever you want to do in life, you have to look to the Lord. Jesus said if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If you can just look to the Lord and trust him, trust his word, sometimes you're going to have to forget things you've learned in the world, even in theology school. You know, the enemy is trying to keep us slowed down. You can't trust everything people say, even good people. The only thing you can trust that will bring you to thriving success is the Word of God. Everything else is questionable. Only the Word of God will work. Even our best thoughts sometimes is inadequate. But the Lord gave us provisions through Jesus Christ. Take him at his word. Use whatever you do for the Lord, do it biblically. And let the Holy Spirit guide you. Remember, if he don't build a church, it's going to fall. Your labor is in vain if you're not following him, if you're not getting instruction from him and obeying him and following him, it's going to fall down flat. And things is not moving along like they should. They'll never move along like they should unless you receive a plan from God. But remember, evaluate what you're already doing. The areas where you're obeying God, God may be giving you a message and you're ministering the message. Keep doing that. You're on track with that. And even in the message, ask the Lord questions. See, along the way, you're going to say things and you're going to hear things coming out of your own mouth that you didn't know that would, you know, that you'll say some things by the Holy Spirit. In the middle of the week, when you think about it, go back and ask the Lord, Lord, give me more information about that. Sometimes the Lord will cause us to say things that clue us in so that we can receive even more from him. Remember, he loves us. He's not trying to hold back. He's trying to get us to be hungry for more. If we have no passion for his knowledge, we're not going to ask for it. If we have no passion to learn greater things, we're not going to ask for it. And if we don't ask for it, we're not going to learn it. The Lord once told me, he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father in that area. So that means that if you ask and you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, you become a candidate to learn something that you never could have learned any other way. And then don't worry about what you don't know. Consider what you do know and consider the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what I do. I don't know what people need, but the Holy Spirit does. And he uses me in an accelerated way. He don't always show me what I'm going to talk about, but I fill my heart with his word. I listen to the word all day long, every day. While I'm working, I listen to we got these devices called smartphones, and we got MP3 players. I just listen to the word of God on mine, not foolishness. And I listen to see what he'll say. And then when I'm ministering, he pulled in my spirit, man. He just calls me to say things he won't say it to reach different people. And most of the time he'd have me to start talking and he guides me. And sometimes he'll give me a format. Whatever he want to do, I just go with it. But Jesus is coming soon, and he has to. It's time for him to come. If he wait too long, he's not keeping his word. And he's going to keep his word. So we have to be ready. Now, there'll be people left here that he would love to take to heaven with him. But because there will be people getting saved in the tribulation period. But people who hardened their heart and they kept being rebellious, their hearts will be hard. And the false prophet's going to deceive them into believing in the Antichrist. So it's important to know God now, repent now, receive his best now, and go forward now in real time. The Lord has so much to say to us. Now, these broadcasts are also on newlivingletters.com. That's newlivingletters.com. And you can listen to these broadcasts in real time. You can share them with your friends and neighbors, your cousins from out of town. You can go back and listen to something that you heard that really blessed you. It's not about Thurston's ministry. It's the word of God. It's what the Lord is saying that makes the difference. He just happened to be using me, and he'll use others too. But I did what he instructed me to do. All these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com on the Audio 3 page for this year. And there are three audio pages on the website. So you can go back and listen to something that you heard that you may have wanted to catch last year. Now, the Lord has so many wonderful things to share with us. Remember, he's going to teach you at your pace. Don't worry about what you don't know, what you're not doing. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Remember, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people that need healing, and they need the blessings of the Lord. But don't forget to enjoy him. Remember, the kingdom of God is not just meat and drink. It's not just ministry. It's not just the things that we puzzle ourselves with. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't forget to include the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in your life. Even though things are not right, even though things are not like you desire them to be, Enjoy God now. Enjoy Him. Look for His return. And He will enable you to say things that's a blessing to people. You know, and you know, when you're around people, you want to be a blessing. Just be quiet in your spirit and listen to what the Lord will have you to say. He may have, and when you yield yourself to the Lord, He can cause you to say what people need. And what you say may mean nothing to you. It may not even seem important, but it'll mean a world of difference to them. It's all about yielding to the Holy Spirit. If you can just yield to the Holy Spirit, you can say what people really need, what to really hit the spot, what to really help them get on track. And then things that are greater, it will form. You have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And get excited because it's going to work. Remember, the Lord can give you a right now plan that's going to make a big difference. I always tell people, if you want to make a great change in life, you don't have to go out and do something huge. Make small changes in what you do every day. Small changes in what you daily do. Small changes in what you do every day makes a world of difference. Whether it's health, your health goals, the wisdom of God. Just some people just need to eat more fruit. They need to eat less red meat and more things that's right. Just eat a couple of apples extra. And when you know you like to eat, you don't want to consider yourself dieting. You don't want to, you enjoy eating the food you like. Just eat your salad first. Always order you a salad first and drink water and then eat the food you like. You're not going to have room for too much of the wrong things, and you will have already eaten things that's going to really help you. It's easy to make the right choices. If you don't have time to exercise when you park at the grocery store, wherever, just park further away and do more walking. And when you go to Walmart, instead of just getting what you need, walk around the store while then get what you need and leave. There's ways to do the things. Just a few changes in what you do every day makes a world of difference. I told a friend of mine one time, every day when you get up, this will help you with stress. Get you a scripture and read the scripture and then think about it all day long. And he said it made a world of difference. It drew him closer to the Lord. He began to have a greater appetite for the things of God. You know, it's all about wisdom. When I go to sleep at night, I say, Lord, is there a scripture? And I listen to see if there is any kind of scripture he'll put on my heart. And then when he give me one, I read it, and it takes my thoughts into the direction that the Lord was trying to, it caused me to ask the right questions. And then I meditate on it as I fall asleep. And then when I wake up, I think about it, and it helps me during my day. And then I study the other. See, he prescribes scriptures just like a doctor prescribes medicine. And see, when I go in the direction that he wants me to go in, it works. Then he prepares me of what he wants me to minister. And folks, let me tell you, it works so easy. He helped me say things that people need. Sometimes we as ministers, we already have the anointing we need. The anointing is the easy part. If he call you to the ministry, you do have an anointing. Now, let me explain something. Your anointing enables you to do something that your anointing gives you God's ability to do that, to do a specific work. All right. You already have God's ability to do it, not man's ability. And people don't know this about the anointing. And did you know the Lord can anoint you to do something? He can anoint you to do anything. He anointed Samson to fight and judge. And he killed 1,000 men in one day. He had God's ability to fight. He was not trained to fight, and he killed soldiers. He killed, and some of the people were giants. See, David's not the first person to kill giants. So, the Philistines couldn't do nothing with him. Some of the 1,000 people that he killed with a donkey's jawbone was probably giants. It's highly possible. Because they were huge people anyway. And he killed warriors. Because he was anointed. Now, as a pastor, God anointed you to pastor. If you're a real pastor, if you have the anointing of a pastor, you have the ability to be highly patient with people. You can be patient with people. You can love the unlovable, teach the unteachable. One guy at work, he was complaining about his pastor because his pastor, some of the people were doing things they shouldn't have been doing, and the pastor was very patient. I said, don't get mad at him. I said, he's anointed to do that. His patience is getting on your nerves because he can have patience beyond human capability because he's anointed to do that. And it take a lot of, you know, patience with people if you're a pastor. It's weird. You have the ability to be patient with people and then teach them. Remember something, especially pastors. If there's any strife, that's why the enemy try to get strife in the church. He can divide a church if he can get strife in it. And the Lord taught me something years ago, back in 06. A lot of times people would get in strife because of tithes. See, when people get saved, they're converts. They just got saved. They don't know all the scriptures and how tithing can bless your life. But pastors look across the bridge and see how other people who are further along, they're tithing and they buy their pastor cars and things like they do. They do all kind of things. They got a big, beautiful million-dollar church or whatever. And then people who are just starting, they want people to tithe. And tithing is scriptural. But then they make the mistake of getting in strife about it. Now, I'm just using tithe for an example because the Lord taught me this. When you're in strife with somebody, you can't teach them. Because the word of God is sown in peace. It's hard for people to learn if you cause them to be in strife with you. And if you're in strife with them, it's going to come out of your mouth because whatever's in your heart is coming out of your mouth. The only way to destroy strife is don't be in strife with people and create peace. Something you're going to have to learn to overlook what's not. And love the people more than you know, God loves us based on, he loves us for us. He loves me for me, not for what I can do for him, not how many tithes I pay, not for how much word I read, not for the people I minister to. He loves me for me. He loves you for you, not for what you can do for him. And people don't know that. So they trying to vie for his attention. They're trying to do everything so God will love. God loves you for you. Even if you quit ministry, he still loves you for you. It's not his love runs deeper than what you do for him. Now, with all that out of the way, love God and love his people. Don't love people based on what they can do for you or what they do for you or what they don't do. Love them all. You know, it's important to love people. It's kind of like even the president, when people are in strife with the president, even if he do things in their favor, they can't appreciate it. Because of strife. They're going to have a problem because it's popular to be angry when so many people are angry. Now, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion. and then every evil work. When people slander people, that's one of the worst things we can do. You realize slander is murder to their character. Now, you know, I mentioned presidents, so since I did, I'm going to talk about it a while. All the presidents that we had, you know, my voting age, when I started voting, Reagan was in office. And he won around the time I was old enough to vote. But whether I voted for the president, every president that got voted in, whether I voted for him or not, I made a practice of not complaining, but praying. I prayed for every president that got voted in, whether I voted for him or not. Once they were voted in, I respected the fact that they were voted in, and I asked the Lord to bless them and help them do their job. For my sake and for the sake of the country. If most of the people voted me in, that was the will of the people. God bless us all. We have to learn to respect the office and not murder the person that God put in place. You know, God respects the office because we got a system. It's not the most perfect system. It's a more perfect system. It's better than a king. Because Satan can easily influence a king. And you'll have hell on your hands. Our presidents, even the worst, we're better off with the worst president we ever had than a human king. Because when a man has this much power, it will go to his head and Satan will drive him nuts. The world has, you know, there were very few kings that stayed in God's flow. When you study the kings, when you study the books, 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles, you start realizing that kings were not, you know, God didn't give Israel a king. They wanted a king. And then God gave them a king. God told them what would happen if they had one. Well, that's still true today. Be thankful for your president. And even Christians, most people complained about they listen to the news, they get wound up with that news, and they get in strife and they talk about the president. And this is the guy that need your prayers. He's under tremendous pressure. Every president we ever had is under tremendous pressure. And they need you to pray for them. Even the ones that you don't agree with. That's not the problem. God can still cause him to make appropriate decisions. But he's being persuaded by Satan and by the most negative people in the world to do wrong. But don't fear that. Let your springs be in God. God is your supply, not man. God can cause you to prosper under any administration. The administration that's in power is not your problem. You're gonna have to believe God and solve your own problems. But he can cause them to be a blessing to you instead of a curse. And sometimes the people that you will train not to agree with can be a blessing to you. Jeremiah said, "Cursed is he who looks to man." And when you have a president that you can agree with, thank God. But you can't trust him either. You pray for him. Don't be in strife with them. Thank God for the good they do, and pray that God will do an amazing work in their lives, and with them. It works, folks. So pastors that love the congregations, you have to be patient. Use the anointing to build the church. Use the wisdom of God to go forward. Enjoy his presence And it's so easy. It takes all the pain out. Now, God loves us. And I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and cause you to do a great and mighty work that you'll be so thankful for when you see people in hell that made it to heaven because of your efforts, because you preached Jesus. That everybody that's of the truth, when they hear the truth, they will receive Jesus. And if they're not of the truth, they just won't do it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.